find that, and we'll be sending it around on email networks. Okay, in sort of reverse order, so Anne, then Mick, then Maddie. Just quickly, Anne.
I'm really, really glad for the conference. I spoke at the anti-racism rally. And I actually did make the link between Soweto, Sharpeville, and Israel, because I have friends who were part of the Soweto movement, and I was absolutely shocked because I came off and somebody said, "What on earth are you doing that for? There's no connection whatsoever." And you know when you just sort of like you take something for granted and then you really throw back on yourself. So I think this is a really important conference. I just think the comments have been really useful. I would just point out, because people often forget, that there's no inevitability about Israel being founded in Palestine. The Zionists were actually looking in East Africa to settle there, first of all, and recently it's come through that actually in the northwest part of Australia, they were also looking at that. So this idea of the foundation, which I think is a foundation, but a country without people for people without a country, is really, we've just got to keep sort of challenging it. But I do think that the main thing is to, as I said, I mean, Thatcher was the person who led totally politically against sanctions. She said they didn't work and they were hopeless and evil and they would stop us having good trade relations. So we've got some good evidence there of political leaders who behave in that sort of way. But I think this movement and the links it's making with the wider issues around social justice and around capitalism is crucial to support, and I think the economic aspect is what will change this. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you look at the economics of it, that's what's going to change it. Within Israel, they can't afford to keep the military that they've got. They've got a huge Orthodox community that isn't paying their way as far as Israelis are concerned. So I think Israel is in trouble economically. But it's being masked by its very, very clever narrative. So I just want to say I think those comments all do work. And I really just want to say linking together and collectively speaking is really the way that through sanctions that we will bring back change.
Thank you, Mick.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, just picking out sort of themes of the really very useful and very helpful sort of contributions which came from the floor. And I think one of the common themes which I think underlay most people's sort of contributions was about the importance and the need to take back control of the agenda and of the narrative within which the Israel sort of Palestine conflict is looked at. When I say we, I mean in a broad sense the movement for justice for sort of Palestine. It relates to the comrade's point there, I think, in terms also about the importance of the use of language. In terms of framing the issues and framing the sort of conflict, and I think Alex sort of very clearly sort of said that we very rarely actually in the movement sort of use sort of the term sort of Zionism, and that's more is a deliberate sort of approach really, and that's because we want to focus on very clear aims and very clear goals which the movement has, and they're basically it's very very simple. It's two things. One is that the state of Israel should respect the human rights of the Palestinian people, Palestinians living within the Israeli state's borders, and the Palestinians living in the occupied territories. That's one goal. The second sort of goal is that the state of Israel should respect and abide by international law. I mean, as people have referred to, the state of Israel is in contravention of numerous UN resolutions. It's in constant it's in breach of the Geneva Conventions, breach of international treaties regarding the rights of children, etc., etc. So basically our demands are very simple and we'll have to keep focused on that. It's about human rights and it's about international law. And I think we in the Labour Party, that very much links into, certainly speaking for as a Labour Party activist, that very much links into what the Labour Party is about. The Labour Party is founded, it's a party of social and economic sort of justice. It's a policy which of equality between peoples. It's a policy of equal resource, equal access to resources, and it's a policy which abhors racism and discrimination in all its forms. So we should be very proudly sort of saying that the Labour Party support for the BDS movement is rooted in what we stand for, social and economic sort of justice. And I think we just have to be relentlessly sort of saying that as well, all the time. And I think the second thing that we need to do, and I think it's something, I think we're very successful about in the BDS and the movement for justice for Palestine, is in the building of coalitions. And I think this is why the State of Israel and its apologists are getting so worried at the moment, and why there's been such virulent attacks on Jeremy Corbyn, on the direction which the Labour Party leadership is taking in relation to Israel, and attacks on the BDS movement, is because it is being successful. And the reason why it's being successful is because of the coalitions which are being built. Coalitions between progressive political groups, between trade unions. Now, virtually every trade union in the UK has a policy supporting the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. That would have been unheard of 15 years ago. I think it was the FBU and maybe the RMT. Now it's mainstream. Those coalitions with say, political parties and trade unions, with faith groups, and with different sort of campaigns. In Newcastle, we've got a very effective coalition. Whenever there's any action on Palestine, such as an event today, or when countering the horrendous attacks on sort of Gaza, there's three or four groups we all worked very, very closely together. Newcastle PSC, Stop the War Coalition, Newcastle Labour Friends of Palestine, and Newcastle Labour Friends of Al-Aqsa. And that's the way forward, is to continue to build those coalitions, to strengthen those coalitions, to show the linkages between all of our sort of campaigns, and just to keep focused on those basic issues, that what we're about is human rights in international law.
Thank you. Anne Marie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, I just reiterate what Nick said, and the fact that this is political, there's no doubt that the whole rising of the smear campaign, as Tony said, is because there was a lot of success. Mm. And that's why, and just as Zionism is a political ideology, I think, I don't know, did you give these out?
Yeah, from the PSC, yeah. Yes.
I mean, yeah. On page 3, it explains very clearly that Zionism is a political ideology, and it did seek to create a Jewish state that privileged Jewish Israelis above Palestinians, and there's actually more than 50 Israeli laws that actually set that in stone. And I think, you know, what you were saying about Jewish people see Zionism as a protector. Well, I think what a lot of Jewish people don't, and the thing is, Zionism isn't something that protects Jewish people. The only way Jewish people are going to be protected against the ravages of anti-Semitism and all the other things that everybody faces is to join with everybody else to defend everybody's rights. That's the only protection that Jewish people are going to have against any form of anti-Semitism. So I think, you know, to me that is the key thing, is that we join together no matter what your religion, no matter what you believe, to fight the abuses of the Israeli state and to fight all forms of racism and fascism in this country.
Thank you. Well, on that note, thank you. Thank you to everyone for coming. If you're not already a member of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, you can join on the stall at the back. Roger has forms if you'd like to join the PSC. Thank you very much again. Thank you.